Isaiah chapter 15. This is a message about Moab. Ard in Moab, that's a town in Moab, is destroyed in a night, and Moab is ruined, because Ard in Moab is destroyed in a single night, all of Moab will be ruined. So, God can change things very quickly. We tend to think that everything that we see is all solid and it's going to last for ages, but actually God can just in a moment, in a night, destroy everything and change everything. It's like when the Assyrians were camped around Jerusalem, one angel went out one night and killed 185,000 of them. Everything can change. And yet a lot of the thinking of the world is based on the assumption that everything is going to go on more or less as it now is. Whereas God deals, if you like, with sort of catastrophe theory, that is that he can suddenly change things overnight in a catastrophe, and things don't necessarily just ramble on and change slowly, but God, when his hand is involved, can change things really quickly. He's gone up to the temple and to Dibon, to the high places, to weep over Nebo and over Medeba. Moab is wailing. His head is bald and every beard has been shaved off. In its streets they wear sackcloth, on its rooftops and its squares. Everybody is wailing and falling down, weeping. Heshbon and Elealeh cry out, their voices are heard up to Jahaz. Therefore Moab is shaking, and his heart is quaking for himself. My heart cries out over Moab. Now, this is Isaiah speaking. He's saying, yep, this is going to happen to Moab, their heart is going to shake. And then he says, my heart is shaking for you. Now, they were Gentiles, they were sort of enemies, really, of God's people. And yet Isaiah is saying, what is going to happen to you, I feel. And that is how we should be. We shouldn't just look at the world and think, well, I pity you, and that's your problem, etc. He really doesn't want it to happen to them, and he really believes the word that he's preaching. It isn't just an idea in his head. He really believed this was going to happen. So he says, well, as your heart is going to cry aloud, so my heart cries out as well. And this is how it is. If you have a heart that bleeds for people, this will guide you in how to preach. The fugitives of Moab will flee as far away as Zoar and Eglath. But at the ascent to Luhith, they go up weeping on the road to Horonaim. They raise up a cry of destruction. The waters of Nimrim are desolate. The grass is withered. The vegetation is gone. The wealth they've stored up, they will just carry that away with them over the river Arab. For the cry has gone out along the border of Moab. Her wailing reaches up to Eglaim, and it reaches to Beer Elim. So all their wealth can't save them. That's the point. That in the day of judgment, wealth cannot save you. How bizarre is it to think that you can come to the day of judgment, where Jesus is judging you, with gold and silver and precious rings and bank accounts and so forth? It's quite bizarre when you think about it. And yet, this is what it says. This is how everybody, you see, reasons. They think that money can buy anything, and it can't. It can't buy you eternal life. Can't buy you forgiveness, can't buy your relationship with God. The streams of Dibon are full of blood, but I will bring upon Dibon even a worse judgment, because a lion is going to jump upon the remnant of Moab that escape. So then they were to be totally destroyed. And all this was in God's hand. And as I say, their wealth would not save them. And we have to learn the lesson from all this, that wealth is not in fact power, as people think it is. If I had this money, then I could do this, that, or the other. Well, no, because it's all in God's hand. And God has a far stronger hand in human life than power and wealth of man.